Last week, we started a new series about the kingdom of God and looking at the parables of Jesus and how he described the kingdom of God and how God was faithful in bringing about his kingdom here to earth through his son, Jesus Christ. And so as we started to look at that last week, we discovered that the kingdom of God was like a treasure that was buried in a field. A treasure that was buried in a field, and a man found the treasure, and when he found the treasure, he dug it up, and he reburied it, and he bought the entire field because it was of great value to him. The key is that he sold everything that he had to buy that treasure, to buy that so he could own it. We also learn about a rich young man that had a lot of possessions. And Jesus told him what he must do to inherit eternal life because he asked about it. And he said that he'd been following the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, you still lack one thing. And this man seemed to know he was lacking one thing. What else must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus knew of his wealth, and he said to him, go and sell everything that you have and give it away to the poor. And the man could not do it. And the scriptures said to us that he went away sad. The kingdom of God is worth any price. And you and I must do whatever it is that we can do to have the kingdom of God, to make whatever sacrifice it is that we must make. And I challenged myself and I challenged you last week to remember that whatever it is that's standing in your way to having that relationship with Jesus Christ, whatever it is that's keeping you away from that kingdom of God, like that rich young ruler or that rich young man had that experience, he knew he was missing something. Many people today are missing something. They don't know what it is. They search for it in many ways. And yet, the answer is very clear. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, we must do all that we can do. And so, today, we learn about the kingdom of God yet again. And we are excited, I'm excited, to see what God is going to reveal to us today. Those of you who know me know that I like to eat. I enjoy a good meal, and I enjoy them a little bit too much. And as I have gotten older and my metabolism has slowed down, those meals have caught up with me. And I need to do something about that. And I've always tried to work at it, but trying is not enough. And so we got to keep working at that. But I want to tell you today about one of my favorite meals. One of my favorite meals is eating Mexican food. And in particular, I like it because it has just enough spice on it. And yet, there are some of those meals that need a little something extra. How many of you like to eat Mexican food? Yeah, a lot of people. All right. And how many people like to just eat spicy food in general? How many? Okay, we got a few fewer hands there, a lot less. You know that when you go to any restaurant, most all of them will have little bottles on the table. And they're not ketchup, they're not mustard, but they're some kind of spice. And they're typically this small little bottle. They got a red little lid on them, and they're usually like a bright red color, or maybe even a bright green color, and they are hot sauce. That's what they are. These bottles contain hot sauce. And when you put hot sauce on something that's already hot, you know that you'll get a little extra kick out of that. And it's good. It's good. As you get older, your taste buds aren't as strong as they used to be, so a little extra kick is nice, right? You enjoy that, and so you have that little extra kick in there. But occasionally, you get, like my kids try to get me to try the ultra hot sauce. And they just laugh and laugh at me when I put a little too much on it, and there's just all kinds of, you know, reactions to it. Your eyes start to water, you know, you're panting, you need a piece of bread, a glass of milk, water, anything to quench that atomic bomb that's just kind of gone off in your mouth. What I think we have to remember when we put these kinds of spices on our foods and when we do add extra things to it, in many cases, just a little bit will go a long way. So if you add just a little bit of sauce to that taco or whatever it is you're eating, a little bit of that sauce will go a long way. What we're looking at today is one of the parables that Jesus talks about yeast. And this is one of the kingdom principles found in the Bible. A small amount of yeast can make a huge difference. It can make a big difference, just a little bit. In this story today, we have a woman that has a bunch of flour and she's made a lot of dough, but she wants that dough to rise. And so she adds to it yeast. Now you have to add, and I'm not by any shape or form here a cook or baker or whatever the right terminology is, so I don't know how much that would be. But I do know enough about yeast that if you add too much, it's not going to work. And you have to add just the right amount so that the flour will rise to the place that to which you want it to be. And if you have a large amount of flour, just that little bit of yeast will be tiny, will be very small in comparison to the larger amount of flour that is there. And that is because that, as you may know, yeast is a fermenting agent, and that it's added to the dough to help it to increase, to help it to grow, to get it to where you want it to be. And just that small little bit can make a lot of difference, but too much, and it won't rise correctly. So a little bit goes a long way. A little can be a lot. So the first point I want to make this morning is that a little of God's power can do big things. A little of God's power can do big things. Jesus uses the story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, to help us to realize that the kingdom of God can start in small and seemingly insignificant ways. Just like a little drop of hot sauce can make a big difference in the flavor that you're going to experience, the kingdom of God often starts small and it grows. For instance, you look into the Old Testament and there you see a man by the name of Abraham and his family, and God used him to begin building his kingdom. And then there was this baby that was born in a stinky animal shelter, basically, in a feeding trough, who was to be the son of God and is the Savior of the world. And then the gospel brings along, as Jesus grows and matures in wisdom and stature, he brings and calls along this ragtag group of men who come and follow him and leave everything that they have behind. Remember, there's something that we all have to leave behind. There's something that we all have to sacrifice. When we give that up, we can follow the kingdom of God and it can be all what it is intended to be in each of our lives. A little bit can make a huge difference in each and every one of us. I want to tell you a little bit of church history this morning. And it's not church history that's out there somewhere. It's church history right here in this church. This week, First Baptist Church will turn 189 years old. 189 years old on September 18. If you look at that banner in the back, you'll see the church was founded in 1836. Guess how many people founded the church? It was just two families, families by the name of Blanchard and Norton. And within that, those two families, only six people started First Baptist Church of Greenville in 1836. And three buildings later, we're in the third known building of this church. Here we are, 189 years later. This church started with just six members. Can you imagine? Now, we have a lot more than that here today. And churches all over the world, including this one, have ebbed and flowed in their numbers and the dynamics within the church over those years. You see lots of different things. One of the things that bothers me when you look at church history is oftentimes, and this is included in ours as well, the history or the highlights are around the buildings. I want to look at some church history where I see what people are doing and what God is doing in their lives and what things have changed because of God revealing himself to them and them following through with that. And so I would add to our church history that we have tried extremely hard over these last years to reach the community. That years ago, someone came up with the idea of having a prom dress closet, and that exploded into the clothing closet that we have today. Someone had an idea that we would start a community table or dinner church, and that's doubled the size of our congregation in the last couple of years, or at least the number of people. We have reached out to our community with the core community group that attracts folks that need help with budgeting and help with their lives in different ways. And God has brought those people into this building, this church. And the church, remember, is not this building. The church is you. The church is me. The church is all of us working and functioning together. And so you can see that even this church, with two families and six charter members, started almost 200 years ago, 189 years this Thursday, and is still going today. God can do a lot with a little, and he continues to do that in our world today. It's almost as if God loves to show off, in quotes, if you will, by taking something small and doing something dynamic. And I think that's exciting. I've always found it exciting that God takes the mundane, that God takes the ordinary, and he's able to do extraordinary things with it. It's exciting to me to see that. Now, you can certainly find all kinds of great big things that God has accomplished in the world. You can find all kinds of great big things that Jesus accomplished in his ministry. But many times they started with just a little bit. A little of God's Spirit grows, and it grows in the hearts of his people, not the building. A little bit of God's Spirit grows in his people, and that little bit of God's Spirit, the yeast, if you will, then grows within us and helps us to help bring about change in our hearts and the hearts of the world. The next scripture that I want to speak about is the one from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, in verses 13 through 21. And I think this is a very familiar story, and so therefore many people most likely have heard it before. But Jesus, as the case in many places throughout the Bible, he's about helping people. That's what I love about ministry. That's why I accepted God's call to be a minister, because I wanted to help people. And I think that's what Jesus was all about. He wanted to help people. He was tending to those that were sick. He was tending to those that were in need. He was bringing about healing. And here he was trying to kind of get away from it all for a little bit to have a break. And yet these large crowds just followed him wherever he went, seemingly. A large group of people had gathered. And the hour was growing late. And the disciples began to realize this, and so they motioned to Jesus. Can you just kind of picture them? These guys go, Jesus, come here, come over here. You know, it's getting late. We don't have much food. We don't have enough. There's no way these people are going to be hangry. These people are going to get hangry with us, and we've got to do something about it. We better dismiss them and tell them that they got to go home, because there's no way that we have enough to feed these people. We've just got a couple loaves and a few fish here. That's all we've got, these 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we have. And Jesus says, well, hey, that's all right. You feed them. You feed them. You feed them. Jesus put it back on his disciples. And he said, if you're so concerned about these people, you're so concerned about them being hungry, do something about it. Do something, church. You can do something big with a little bit. So do something about it, is what he was saying to his disciples. Now, we don't learn in this account of the feeding of the 5,000 story that the lunch actually came from a little boy. You've got to look over at John's gospel for that. But we find that it was a little boy's lunch, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so somehow they got this lunch from the little boy, and he offered it up, and so here we are, and they say, this is what we have. And Jesus looks up to heaven, and he gives thanks, and he said, now go and feed them. Go out and feed them. He told everybody to sit down, relax, it's going to be all right. And they all ate. And it doesn't say that they had a snack. It doesn't say it was just a little bit. They ate until they were full. And the scripture records at the end of that portion, that passage, that the disciples then went around and they collected all the leftovers. Aren't leftovers great, Greg? I love leftovers. Especially when they're a little spicy, because the next day the spice seems a little bit more, you know? And so they're good. They're really, really good. And so they get 12 basketfuls left over. Isn't that amazing? So they've gone from, we don't have enough, we've only got 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread. This story in the Bible is titled incorrectly. It says that they fed 5,000. If you notice at the very last verse of this passage, that's besides women and children. And so you can double that at least. So with that little bit in Jesus' hands, through the power of God in prayer, they were able to feed 10,000 plus people at that time. It's an amazing story. Another thing that Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God, the power of God, a little of God's power can do great things. Now next, the second point is this, that God's kingdom power can make all the difference. God's kingdom power can make all the difference. I've said it over and I'm going to keep repeating it. When anything is in God's hands, even if it's a little bit, he can do miraculous things with it. A little bit, just like that spice, can go a long, long way. You don't have to have a lot in order to offer yourself to Jesus. You know that's true. You know that's very true. I mean, you may be here today and say, you know what, I don't have a lot to offer. And in some ways, when we say that, stick with me here, we would be right. We don't have a lot to offer as individual people. But listen, this is my life verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So my point is that I cannot do anything, that I don't have a lot to offer. But when Christ is added, when Christ is part of my life, when Christ is part of your life, when Christ is part of the life of this church, we can do anything. Amen? We can do anything. It doesn't matter how large we are, how many people we have, how many programs we have, what the offering is. When God's about it, we can do anything. But without Jesus, we struggle. And so when we struggle, we must ask ourselves, where's Jesus in this? How am I listening to Jesus in the midst of these struggles? You see, God loves a good comeback story. I love good comeback stories myself. I find myself rooting for underdogs many, many times. As a St. Louis Cardinals fan, I never thought I would be rooting for the Cardinals as an underdog, but yet here we are. But I like underdogs. Jesus likes a good comeback story. There is nothing that you could have done that would keep him from working through you. You may ask yourself this morning, I've made too many mistakes. You don't know what I've done. I don't, but God does. God knows our lives. He knows our hearts. He knows where our treasures are. What treasure is he asking you to leave behind? What is it that's in the way of your following? What is it in the way in the church that keeps us from moving ahead? What is that? You see, when God is in the mix, there is nothing impossible that God, with God. Everything is possible with God. God cannot be contained. God cannot be put in our little box. That's why, you know, the Bible also tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. God cannot be stopped. And we must believe, my friends, that that power, that same power, is available to us. That same power that's available to the church today. There's a story about a young man named Zach. And Zach was out climbing on some rocks with his dad, some cliffs, not real high up, but climbing on some cliffs with his dad. And the dad was caught off guard when all of a sudden he heard, "Hey, Dad, catch me." And now, as he looked up, he realized that the son, that Zach, had said this, and he was already in the air, and so automatically they became like this circus act. And the dad was just looking up at his son Zach and praying and hoping that he could catch him, and he did. And when he caught him, they kind of fell backwards a little bit, and they were both okay. But for a while, the dad was breathless. It was as if he couldn't talk for what had just happened. And when he finally regained his voice, he looked at his son Zach and he said, "Zach, I just have one question for you. When did you think that would be a good idea, and why did you do it?" And his son Zach just very calmly looked at him and he said, "Because you're my dad." He trusted his dad to be there to catch him. He put his faith and his trust in his dad. His whole assurance was based on the fact that he knew his father was trustworthy. He could be trusted. The kingdom of God is like that batch of dough. It's like that young boy's lunch that Jesus used to feed 5,000 plus people. The key for every one of us Christians and every one of us who want to be disciples of Jesus Christ is that we have that trust. That trust in God the Father, that he will provide, that he's able to take what little we might bring to the table. He's able to take what little we might have as a church, what little we might bring, and he's able to do amazing things with it. But the key is being able to trust. When we trust God's ability to work in and through us, when we trust God's ability to take a little, it can be a lot. And then when we become much more eager to live in the kingdom of God, just like that little boy who was free falling into the arms of his father with great glee and joy, because he knew that God would be there to catch him when he was falling. Number three, and finally that point of number three, don't underestimate God. Don't ever underestimate God. We've all done it, right? We do it. We do it in the church. We do it in our homes. We do it in our personal walk with Jesus Christ. We question God and whether God is really capable of moving in powerful ways like he did during biblical times. We say, well, you know, that was a story in the Old Testament or the New Testament, but this is today. I'm here to tell you today that there, yes, have been times when I have not trusted as I should have for God to do big and amazing things. There are times when I have missed out because I have underestimated God because of the little that I could bring to the table or the little bit that I could offer as a pastor or the little bit that our church could do that has made a huge difference, and I've underestimated that from time to time. Usually it's because we're looking for the big and spectacular things. We're looking for those things that make us a big headline, a big splash, that involve a lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of power, because that's how we've been conditioned in our world. Someone once told me this, and I've tried to remember, that bigger isn't always better, it's just bigger. And I've often learned that bigger also comes with bigger problems. And so I think that God can do some amazing things with just a little. And that's what this message has been about. Even though we might be looking for the big and spectacular, God can do amazing things with the simple and the mundane as well. Just like the yeast in this story, just like the little boy with the five loaves and the two fish, God can do amazing things. Just like that small number of 12 ragtag disciples that followed along, just like those families 189 years ago that said, guess what, Greenville needs a Baptist church, and we're going to put it on West Main Street. And when that one was outgrown, they built it right here on the corner of Southeast Street and Vine Street or Spruce Street. And when that one burned down in 1951, 52, right around there, they said, you know what, we're going to build it up again. And they built this church back in the same spot. And while they were doing that, they were worshiping at Greenville University, which, by the way, was started by the Baptists. Let's never let them forget that. And so there we were, worshiping in the chapel up there at Greenville University. This church has prevailed because of God's goodness and done little with a lot. We've done a lot of things with a little that God has given to us. We've been bigger, we've been smaller. But God started it off with just two families, six people, and here we are today, still ministering in his name. God can do amazing things with limited resources. God can do amazing things. It's been a tough week in our country, hasn't it? We have acknowledged yet again that dreadful day of September 11th of 2001. It's like many of you remember where you were when John Kennedy was killed. I'll always remember where I was on September 11th. A lot of lives were taken that day. A lot of things changed in our country because of that day. Now, no matter where you stand politically, it's always terrible when there's been loss of life. We saw a young man gunned down this week in the prime of his life, that was speaking about God, Yes, from a political standpoint sometimes. And it was hard to see. But what wrenches my heart is that this young man had two beautiful children who will no longer know their dad. A lovely wife who no longer has a husband. Regardless of how you feel about this individual and where he stood and what he said, he engaged college students. He met them where they were. He gave them an opportunity to have a back and forth. We need to have more of dialogue in this country, even when we disagree, and learn how to get along with each other. Amen. And not hate people and politicize people. It's a rough place for us to be. And above all, we must remember that God gave his son Jesus Christ for all the world. This includes people of all political persuasions, all ethnic groups. It includes everybody. People that you don't like, people that you disagree with, people that are different from you, people that are poor, people that are rich, people that are wealthy, people that are powerful. It includes everyone. God sent his son Jesus to die for every single person. We must not give up. We must not give up. And so the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth in chapter 15, verse 58, these words. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul is encouraging the church to stand up, to not quit, to keep working, keep moving forward, even though things don't look too good for Christianity in the United States today and what they once were. We should never quit, because God can always do a lot with the little bit that we bring to the table. God meets us right where we are in the mundane of this world. God is in the yeast that permeates. God is in the five loaves and the two fish that fed 5,000 plus people, 10,000 or more. God is there. God is in the bread and the cup when we meet him at the communion table. And is he able to reach us and commune with us in that moment? God is with us as we move through the waters of baptism and his Holy Spirit descends down upon us and we hear those words, "This is someone with whom I am well pleased." God is in those small things, those little moments, if we're listening. Don't let them pass you by in the midst of all the noise and all the big things that are going on in the world, which we could easily say, you know what, I don't think I can make a difference anymore. Don't quit. Do not quit. Keep laboring, for what you do for the Lord is never done in vain, no matter how big or small it may be. We will see God and move in powerful ways, in little things, because just like that hot sauce, a little bit can really spice things up. A little bit can really go a long, long way. What is the one way, my friends? What is the one way this morning that you can trust God to work in your life today, even if it seems difficult right now. Amen.